We are virtually sitting down with Ethan Knight, a current candidate for Multnomah County District Attorney. Ethan Knight has served as an Assistant United States Attorney for over a decade and previously served as Deputy District Attorney in the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. He currently serves as President of the Oregon Law Foundation, an organization dedicated to ensuring access to justice for those without the means to hire an attorney. He has been recognized with some of the Justice Department's highest awards for his work handling security cases during the Obama administration, including by former Attorney General Loretta Lynch. He is endorsed by the Portland Police Association, Multnomah County Prosecuting Attorneys Association, and Portland Public Safety Action Coalition. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Knight. First, what inspired you to run for district attorney?
You know, I grew up in this community, and I care deeply about this community, and I've spent over 20 years as a public servant and really as an advocate as a state and federal prosecutor. So for me, it was not a big leap then to take the opportunity to run for district attorney, to convey and leverage the work I've done over the past 20 years into a position that really is as the primary and chief law enforcement officer for this community.
How would your past experiences, such as your position as Assistant United States Attorney, contribute to being a successful DA?
As far as my work as a federal prosecutor over the past really 13 years, there's a direct correlation, obviously, between that kind of work and being a state prosecutor, having done that. But most importantly, I think what it's given me, particularly handling some very significant and high-profile cases in an environment where there's a lot of pressure but really high expectations and an attention to detail, is, you know, an ability and willingness to carry that vision and that work experience to an environment where there's a lot of public scrutiny as well. And so I'd be able to, you know, really leverage the quality and depth of that kind of prosecution experience in a way that I think the community can expect both transparency, but then also a thorough, careful, and ethical approach to my work that I've exhibited as a federal prosecutor.
Your website states that the biggest challenge facing our community is homelessness, and that it is critical to recognize that homelessness is not a crime. As DA, what could you do to work towards decriminalizing homelessness?
Well, I mean, I think for starters, really, it's worth mentioning that increasingly our biggest challenge will be, you know, in relation to specific things like homelessness, will be the coronavirus and how that impacts public health and how it impacts our state and local budgets. Now, having said that, going back to sort of my view of homelessness being, I think, our biggest challenge and biggest issue, and your question about what can I do to ensure that it's not criminalized, I think the answer to that is focusing on the overlap of the problem with the criminal justice system. In other words, not casting a wide net and saying that homelessness per se is criminal, but really focusing on homeless individuals who may be victims of crime, focusing on those amongst the homeless population who are victimizing others, and may be responsible for a larger percentage of those crimes, but not talking about the condition of being without a home is criminal, more focusing on the conduct itself. And I think that'll get us to a better place to keep everyone safer, including those who are on the streets and really our most vulnerable citizens.
And you mentioned COVID-19 a little bit when talking about homelessness. What are some other obligations of the DA you think are going to have to adapt to changes due to this COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I mean, I think in the short term, and I say short term because this is an issue really that will be dealt with, I think, primarily by the current district attorney, Rod Underhill, in the current system. It'll be how do you manage the jails and the courthouse with, you know, an emergent sort of public health issue. In other words, how do you ensure that people are kept safe in those close quarters? And that can be, you know, anything from witnesses and litigants in the courthouse to obviously folks in the jail system. I think longer term, the issue really becomes one of budget. And that is, you know, I think how does the district attorney really become an advocate in the system for the needs of the community and the criminal justice system and all sides of it? Because I think the reality is we're going to be facing tremendous pressure. I mean, the chair just released a preliminary budget with some cuts and then said there are more coming. And I think anyone in state and local government knows that's the case. So, you know, the reality is that's what we're facing. Now, I think there's a secondary issue. I say secondary because it's sort of one that maybe people aren't thinking about as much, but I think the economic toll on everyone, including our most vulnerable citizens, means that we're going to have to be very mindful of how they folks with really very little, how do we ensure that they're continuing to be treated fairly by the system?
Branching off of that a little bit, the fair treatment of the system, in situations involving threats and acts of violence in the community, you've stated that people who may mistrust the law enforcement and take matters into their own hands are often making unsafe decisions. As DA, how would you begin to restore confidence in the justice system?
Well, I think it's a couple ways. I mean, I think transparency is a key piece of that. We talk about that a lot, but what that means is that you have a district attorney's office and law enforcement where, to the extent possible, decisions are made in a transparent way and people understand why things are done and what the numbers show and why certain steps are being taken. You know, but I think the other piece of that is you need to abide to the rule of law, and that means, you know, following the law regardless of political pressure in a way that people can trust that their system is being managed with credibility and fairly. I mean, you know, one of the first things I noticed when I started as a young district attorney, you know, now over two decades ago, was how many of the victims in the system were really from poor and underserved communities, and really the most vulnerable citizens. And these were folks who then were thrust into the system. And I think when you talk about trust, you need to ensure that people know that regardless of your background, that the system treats you fairly. And so I think that an even-handed approach and a transparent approach are the best ways to do that.
As DA, what are some other ways you might plan on creating a more fair system in terms of economic status?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, one area or one sort of focus I've had throughout my career, even beyond the prosecution work I've done, is really related to access to justice, and that is in the legal system, ensuring that even beyond the criminal prosecution, but in our courts, people with limited resources get access to legal aid, can have access to the court system, and those needs are becoming more acute. And I think as a district attorney, that'll be an area where I'm a public voice in talking about the need to have our courts opened up and to have access to justice for all. Now, what does that mean specifically as it relates to the system? You know, I've talked and written about the need to be very mindful of how fines and fees imposed on criminal defendants who then complete their sentences successfully can really follow someone for a long time and get in the way of getting housing or successfully reentering the community. So that's one piece. I would advocate strongly to ensure that those sorts of things can be expanded so we don't unfairly penalize people for not having money, essentially. And the other thing is to work more concertedly to support reentry into the community for both the defendants and victims, too, who are coming through the system. And what that means is when somebody leaves the system or successfully completes the sentence, how can we best ensure that they don't come back or they have access to services? And that can be, you know, pushing more expungements for criminal convictions. That can mean being more mindful of when somebody leaves the system, giving them access points to social services, which is something we don't really think about oftentimes as prosecutors, but it's equally important.
Mental health issues can be intertwined with homelessness, drug use, and monetary fears, and affect a lot of people that go through the system. As DA, how could you work on making sure people with mental health issues don't get lost in the prison system?
Well, I mean, you know, as district attorney, what you need to do, I mean, you can't control what happens once someone gets sentenced. So you really need to focus more on ensuring there are options at the front end when somebody comes in and is charged. And, you know, the tricky thing about mental health, even distinct from addiction, and there's overlap between the two, is how nuanced and complicated it can be in finding the right avenues for support and treatment. And so there are a couple ways to address that. I mean, I think, you know, mental health courts, where we have, you know, courts specifically designed to address folks who have mental illness who are in the criminal justice system. That's one way. And then the other piece really is a funding piece. I mean, it's being an advocate and ensuring that people appreciate, you know, you can say you support mental health resources, but you need the kind of probation officers and support in the criminal justice system once folks are there for mental illness. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And if somebody's sentenced to a crime who also has a concurrent mental illness, you can't simply just expect them to go through and then put them back out in the community without adequate support and treatment services. And that's, you know, something that's been chipped away at for decades, of course, is our public health and public mental health resource availability. but ensuring that it's there in the criminal justice system, I think, is critical, and recognizing that it should be part of the criminal justice system so we can give folks support to come through.
What is one issue in this campaign that you don't think gets enough attention?
You know, I think that we have lost sight of the fact about how vulnerable many of our victims are, in the same way that many of our criminal defendants are, and the role that poverty plays in those two, with those two groups. You know, as I alluded to earlier, I talked about how, as a young DA, I saw victims come through the system who had so little, who were poor and from underserved communities. And I think that people often forget that people who live in neighborhoods or unstable living situations or on the streets are more likely to be victimized. And, you know, part of being a prosecutor is protecting the most vulnerable, particularly in our state system. And our most vulnerable are often the ones who don't have the resources or the support in their lives otherwise, and they're victimized by other people. And I think we forget that. And so I think that's something that's sort of got lost in the discussion. But to me, it resonated very strongly throughout my career.
Do you have any more last closing thoughts for our listeners?
Only that, you know, we are obviously at a challenging time at so many levels in our community. And, you know, I think I bring to the table is a professionalism, a support from a wide variety of folks, and an understanding of the criminal justice system. And that, you know, if I'm district attorney, that credibility and professionalism will really guarantee that things are run well. And that people can rest assured that, you know, the rule of law is well served and honestly served and reflects the values of the community.
And lastly, where can listeners find more information about your campaign?
Great question. My website contains, you know, a considerable amount of material, both supporter statements, substantive written policy information, and other information as well. And that's www.electethanknight.com. That's one word, .com.
Okay. And with that, thank you very much for joining me today to answer some questions.
Absolutely, and thank you so much.
We have been speaking with Ethan Knight, who is currently a candidate for Multnomah County District Attorney. Ballots for the election of Multnomah County DA are due on May 19th. More information about Knight's campaign can be found at electethanknight.com. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Melissa Hood.